So they say life begins at 40.
Really interesting. This is the 40th episode.
Wow. And now, we're ever since the 39th episode, we've been recording this on a sofa.
We have.
As opposed to hard chairs at a table.
Feels like good morning.
We've got so relaxed into it now.
Exactly. We're in the groove.
In the groove of the sofa cushion.
Indeed.
Actually, I'm sitting central to a cushion.
I'm not. I am genuinely.
You're in the groove.
I am in the groove.
Oh, that's a horrible place to be.
It is.
Yeah. Get comfortable. Combat attack.
Oh, dear God.
Did I interrupt you there? Were you about to say something?
I wasn't. I'm just going to comment on how our introductions have slowly gone downhill.
I thought it was great. You've surely gone down the middle of those two cushions.
I have, unfortunately.
This is maybe what audiences like, a bit of banter. We're here to talk about video games, as we do every week.
We are?
We talk about what we've been playing and what we've purchased and maybe some current gaming news, what we're looking forward to. What's been going on in Matt's world of gaming this week?
I've perked up a few games.
What's that mean?
I tried to do an accent and then I failed terribly and failed on it. No, I've picked up a few things.
Oh, you've picked up. You said
yes,
perked.
I have said perked. Oh,
this
God.
Is a relaxed podcast.
What
accent were you doing?
I was trying to do a Chicken Chaser accent. Oh. Can we just watch a Fable Anniversary trailer, you Chicken Chaser?
Yeah. But you've picked up a few games.
I have picked up a few games. I'm going to return a segment, Thomas, that we haven't done in a long time. Danish Deal of the Week.
Oh my God.
How
did we forget about that?
It's because we didn't really buy any games in Denmark because they're all ludicrously expensive.
Danish Deal of the Week.
Thank you for that jingle.
Right, I stole it from Harry Hill's TV burp.
You did. But it's all right. We're on the internet. There's no laws here, right?
I don't know.
Probably is. Never mind. I picked up a few things for the Wii, believe it or not. As regular listeners of the podcast will know, I'm not really the biggest fan of the Wii as a console, but I can't...
We won't get into that.
I'm just saying I can't get away from the fact there's some amazing games on the console. And
very true.
The Danish supermarket, Føtex, I can't pronounce it, has a cracking deal on Wii games at the moment. They're 49 kroner for... a wide variety of titles.
49 kroner each.
Yeah, and there were some good games in there. I picked up Final Fantasy Chocobo Dungeon, which is a Japanese role-playing game. Surprise, surprise, as if I haven't got enough of them already. But 49 kroner, it's a bit of a steal. I've seen it pre-owned for about 200, so I was like, I'll grab that. Danish prices, of course. I bet you could probably pick it up relatively cheap in the UK, but I've heard it's a good game. I picked up a game that Thomas is a very big fan of, Mad Dog McCree, the trilogy, the complete collection.
Which includes Mad Dog McCree 1 and 2 and Last Bounty Hunter.
It does.
Never played Last Bounty Hunter, I'm looking forward to having a go on that.
We should do a Let's Play. Be new for both of us, it'd be great.
Is it a Let's Play, Matt, or is it a TMA quickie?
I guess it would be a TMA quickie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we've actually got a YouTube now. Yay, we just finished recording a video of a Tomomat attempt of a great game, a favourite of mine, called El Shaddai, which I will also be uploading alongside this podcast, so you can go to our YouTube and check that out. Other than Mad Dog McCree, I got Pikmin 2. 49 kroner for a sealed copy of Pikmin 2 on the Wii, and I was like, well, with the GameCube prices being so expensive, I'm probably never going to own another copy of that for there. I can play this on my Wii U, so I thought it would be
perfect.
Exactly. I thought I would be a fool not to get it.
There isn't a Wii in this establishment anymore.
Oh.
Since I copied over the inside of my Wii lives in my Wii U now.
It does.
Yeah. Funny that, isn't
it? It is.
Cool. Okay, so a few new Wii games had the collection. I picked up Ivy the Kiwi on the Wii as well fairly recently.
You did. I'd seen this copy. For those of you living in Denmark, it's currently like 39 kroner. I've seen
well,
it,
was
a few.
Until I snapped it up.
No, I've seen it in a few GameStops. I've seen it in other ones. I didn't get it because I thought you had it, but then you informed me you had it on the DS and not on the Wii.
I was intrigued in trying out how the controls were with the using the Wii remote as opposed to the stylus. I always imagined it wouldn't be as intuitive, but I've yet to give it a go, so I can't say. Interestingly enough, I'm not sure if the DS, I was going to say 3DS there. It's too many consoles.
There are.
The DS had the multiplayer element that this version does, but I'll be interested to try that out as well.
That'd be cool. I'll give that a go with you.
Good action puzzle game from, I think it's probably from Probe, are they called? The studio that was formed by Yuji Naka.
Yeah, of Sonic fame.
Sonic Team.
Yeah, speaking of Sonic, I'll transition off the games we've bought. What are you making of this new Sonic?
Matthew, you're bringing up Sonic now on a podcast which is very Sonic-centric.
Well, you know, you were the one to quickly spring in, like, hey, here's the guy who created Sonic. So I thought I'd throw it in there.
Okay, what are my thoughts on it?
Yeah, bandages and bandanas.
I think the bandages is a bit odd. For anyone who hasn't seen this yet, Sega have released a couple of videos of their new TV show Sonic Boom and Game, which accompanies the series, and Sonic and his friends, isn't that nice?
Aww.
Have had a bit of a, a restyle.
They have. They've been...
They've got a new look.
They look edgy and cool.
Yeah, this is the attempt to make them more edgy, and then they do weird things like change their arm colour, Sonic's arm colour to blue as opposed to his peachy tones.
Yeah.
Interesting move, doesn't really bother me that much. This is just the bandages. He's got a scarf, that's all right. That's what you expect when you expect a studio or to redesign famous characters. What they do, add a little scarf.
Well, yeah, it's kind of the easiest way, right? Yeah. I saw a meme of just it was like the Oprah thing. Have you seen like when they have an Oprah birthday and it's like, you get an iPad, you get an iPad, you all get iPads.
Really?
Yeah, like that's what they do on like special Oprah shows. Like they
that's
put
nice.
Prizes under people's seats and whatever. Hmm. But there was a...
Whoopee cushions will be more fun, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
You
get
an
a whoopee
iPad,
cushion.
Sit on
you
it.
Get a whoopee cushion. No. But it was a, you get a scarf, and then a picture of Nathan Drake, and this, you get a scarf, and then a picture of Link in Skyward Sword, and a picture, you get a scarf, a picture of Sonic, you all get scarves!
And Knuckles gets big muscles.
He does.
Tall growth pills.
Well, that's just kind of character development, isn't that?
It is, it's going on Knuckles' strengths of being strong.
Well, he just had gigantic hands before, so a bit of muscles kind of makes a bit more sense to me.
Yeah, his head looks too small for his body. But, I'm going to save judgment until I've seen the show. Because I'm used to Sonic being rebooted in a way for TV. There was the series based on the Archie comics, which weren't what I was familiar with. I was familiar with the world that Sega created and was seen in the British Sonic the Comic. And then you had this show where you had Princess Sally and all these other new characters and a darker tone to it. And
did a lot of these characters that are in later Sonic games transition from the comics? Was like Big the Cat a creation of Sega or a creation
of
the people?
Sega direct for the game. It wasn't. He doesn't predate Sonic Adventure, I don't think, in any way. In fact, what the British Sonic comic would do, it was bring in the characters created for the games. For example, Metal Sonic, which was called Metallics in the comic.
Okay.
There was a Metal Knuckles, actually, that they created for the comic, which was a little bit different, but he never transitioned over into the games. Other than Sonic R, there is a Metal Knuckles, but different design.
Okay.
Anyway, talk about Sonic all day. The game is coming out for Wii U only, I think.
I believe it's on all consoles.
I think it's Wii U only.
Really?
Because I remember reading it's part of the 3-game contract that Sega have with Nintendo.
Very interesting.
Which consists of, and you informed me of this, that Sonic and Mario at the Olympics was one of them.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to think, what's the other title? So we've got Sonic Lost World, Sonic at the Olympics, and now Sonic Boom. Which will be interesting to see what they do with this. They've brought in a gameplay mechanic, which kind of reminds me of the thing in Knuckles Chaotix, where you were connected to another player. It's not exactly like that. But in fact, it's nothing like that. But it's a kind of an energy leash, which you can swing at things.
Am I mistaken in it being a Western developer?
It's French.
Yeah, I thought
well,
so.
I know the animation's coming from France. Whether the game is or not, I'm not 100%
yeah.
on that. But Big Red Button are developing it, and I'm not familiar with their other games.
Okay.
So that's interesting. But not the first time Sonic's been handed to a third party. I mean, Sega of America have worked on things for Sonic and Traveller's Tales, of course, Sonic 3D, Sonic R.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Sega will be making sure these games, looking overseeing these games considerably. But interesting, it's not coming from Sonic Team this time, which sure. could be a blessing after
maybe.
Sonic Lost World.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps they need time to restructure. I mean, it's a shame, really, though, isn't it? I mean, like, such a legacy of Sonic Team, and then Sonic Lost Worlds, on all accounts, was just pretty much just an eclectic mix of very good levels and arguably a lot more just bad levels. Just
it's a flawed game with some, I have to say, bad design, and it pains me to say that.
Speaking of games that have good design, and I actually said to you when I was playing it on your Wii U that this is a more Sonic level than any Sonic game I've played in the last, like, 10 years. I've been playing a lot of the new Super Mario Bros. Wii U.
3D you mean World. 3D World?
Yes, that's the one. 3D World.
We do play games, we just don't remember what they're called.
Admittedly, to put this in context, I've had about 4 hours sleep and it's currently 10 o'clock, so I've almost been awake on Virgin 20 hours, so not good. Yeah, so I'm powering through. I'm delivering content to you people, so I apologise for my mistakes and mispronunciations of words. Mm. But, yeah.
Even if it is dubious in quality.
It is, yeah.
We should not admit things like that.
Shh, Thomas.
You tell us.
Yeah, you can find this. No, I'm not going down that route. Anyways, yeah, I've been playing a bit of 3D World, and I have to say, it's amazing. I really like it.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised.
But, like, I didn't realise, like, in the brief dabbling we'd had playing it as, like, multiplayer, I thought, yeah, this is all right. But, honestly, like, it just takes such a nice approach to Mario. It's like a love letter to Mario.
Mm-hmm.
And, as we were discussing, they must be working on a 3D Mario now to come after this, because I don't know how they're going to top it. Like,
well, when we say 3D, we mean
like a Mario Galaxy, like a big 3D world.
Where you have to move the camera.
Yeah.
That's the best way of describing it.
More Super Mario 64 than Super Mario World. Because while this is obviously a game in a 3D environment, as was set by the new Super Mario Brothers games, still not like a galaxy
no
style you control Mario control the camera kind of
and
affair.
We mentioned this maybe a couple of shows ago but now I think then the name makes more sense. Super Mario Universe.
Yes, perhaps this is why the Wii U
to
is
me
called
that
the
thing
Wii U.
Yeah, that is why the Wii U is called Wii U, because he wanted to call the game Super Mario Universe, next logical step from Galaxy. I'm hoping and praying that Nintendo take that route. But don't make it just like Galaxy.
But I don't know. Like, if the Galaxy team who worked on 3D World worked on another 3D game, admittedly, fans wouldn't be happy, and I don't think it would be good for Nintendo, but I'd be happy to play it. Like,
you're talking about a 3D World 2?
Yeah. Or some, not even like a 3D World 2, just like a Super Mario game like this that was called something else. It doesn't have to be a direct sequel.
Mm.
I want just new gameplay mechanics again, because some of them are amazing. Like the
And as I said, they kept it fresh and they've introduced a lot of new ideas in this game.
They have like that, the thing you pick up and it makes multiple copies of yourself is very cool. The fact you can kind of, there's a few elements of the game that play with the idea of you being a shadow. Even like the giant ice skate thing you get in
the boot
and go around the ice world in. It's amazing. It's really cool. Like, I've run into one level I don't really like, and that's because, I know this is probably a controversial viewpoint, I take issue with the cat suit. I think the cat power's a bit naff. And I've heard a lot of people on the internet kind of say, like, oh, well, it relies too much on the cat suit. And admittedly, the cat suit is kind of like, saying this game relies too much on the cat suit is kind of like saying Super Mario World relies too much on Yoshi. is kind of like the mechanic of the game. It's kind of like the breakthrough mechanic. And yeah, there are some interesting other mechanics. And
There's the head that fires the cannon.
Yeah,
head,
exactly.
Which I hadn't actually noticed. Yeah. I'd nearly finished the game and I'd barely used it, but I saw Matt playing it the other day and he was making full use of this new power-up.
Well, I'm very thorough in my gameplays of these latest Mario titles. Like, I go through and I try and 3-star every level before I move on to the next one.
Mm.
And as such, I tend to notice all of these things, all these quirky powers. Also, you're playing
as Peach, which I thought was interesting.
I am. I completed Super Mario 2 when I did Super Mario 2 when I was back home as Peach, just because me and a friend of the podcast, Per Fargo, were talking about it on that show I interviewed him on, about how he always wanted to complete Super Mario 2 as Peach. And so I did it for him.
Oh, that's nice.
And yeah, well, like, I just kind of carried it on. Obviously, Peach's glide ability is very helpful for getting to the top of the poles at the end of the levels. And it can, if you're in a particularly fiddly jump, which I will imagine there will be quite a few of later on in the game, it's always nice to have that extra 3 seconds of, oh crap, I didn't want to jump that way, and so you can adjust.
Yeah,
no digging, fortunately, so far, so I haven't had to worry about that aspect of Peach's inability to dig.
No, there's no digging.
Good.
As far as I'm aware.
Good.
Be interesting to hear what Pear thinks this game, actually.
Yeah.
I think when you interviewed Pear back on one of our earlier podcasts, you did bring this up, and I think...
He was very excited about the concept of it.
Excited about it.
Yeah, I'll email him. Let's get him to drop us a Skype message that we can drop into the podcast or something, maybe. Who knows? But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I'm really looking forward to playing it again. I'm on the fourth world already, and I've kind of taken a break from it because I'm playing 8 million other games at the moment, and... Yeah, I honestly, though, that's the game I've been playing so far that I really want to go back to, and it's kind of like soured a lot of other games for me. That I've picked up a few games today, and while Assassin's Creed 4 is brilliant and I really do enjoy it, I kind of put it down because I'm on a particularly tricky bit of a ship battle where I haven't really got enough money to upgrade my ship.
It's more of a demanding game to sit down and play than Mario is.
It is, like, Mario is just kind of like comfort food for me, at least. Like, I had a really ropey day one day this week and was just kind of like, I just need to go home and I need to recharge. And like, my way of just resetting my head is by playing a couple of levels of Mario, which is very nice. Played a bit more of Battlefield as well.
Which you described as being rather boring.
I'm kind of over the campaign. I kind of really don't care, to be honest with you. I made a resolution when I bought my PS4 that I wasn't really going to buy games like I usually do for other consoles, where I'll buy 2 or 3 games and then have them sitting on a shelf. My whole idea of this was that I was going to buy a game and then I'd play it to completion and then I'd buy another game for my PS4. Fortunately, Battlefield is technically a PS3 game that I upgraded, so I'm going to allow myself the benefit of the doubt of not completing it.
You don't plan on completing
it. I have no interest. Like,
you're going to leave it as a multiplayer.
Yeah, and even that, like, I'm kind of a bit fed up with the multiplayer. It's just one of the same. It's a bit of a shame, but I knew what I was getting into. It's just the experience of talking to people and playing it.
At least Infamous is coming out soon.
This is true. Second Son.
But then you got to complete Assassin's Creed 4 first.
I do.
Then technically that's a last generation game as well.
Oh, no, I'm going to complete Assassin's Creed 4. I really do like that game.
Yeah.
There's something very nice about the pirate ship mechanic, and I think once Ubisoft actually does just make Black Flag 2 without the Assassin's Creed attached to it, when it's just a pirate game without the Assassin's Creed like stealth mechanics. It's rumoured to be.
Okay.
Ubisoft sent out a questionnaire a couple of months back to people who signed up for Uplay and stuff.
Oh, would you like another?
A very prominent part of this questionnaire was them saying, would you like a pirate game that wasn't Assassin's Creed? Because obviously, like, the next one, they're going to have to go to something else entirely. Whereas they've got this great mechanic of, like, ship combat and stuff, so I don't think they want to waste it.
No, I can understand that.
Yeah, how about yourself? I have been playing a few more things, but I feel I've been blathering on a bit.
I think we both had a little go at the new game. Is it called Dust Force?
Dust Force, yeah. That was really nice.
Is it
nice.
Called Dust Force?
I believe so.
It's a new downloadable title on the PS3. Which was nice, a 2D platformer, retro in style, but something about it is very graceful.
Yeah, it's just for me, the visual aesthetics of it were really nice. Just the idea of you're a guy with a brush and you're sweeping up leaves and cleaning floors, but just done in a very nice 2D way. Something very retro about it. Yep.
Usual double jumps and wall bouncing mechanics. And
yeah, but there seem to be some nice ideas, like a kind of like a dash attack. To be honest, like the platforming, some of the elements of it kind of felt a bit like a Mega Man X.
Yeah.
Like the double jump off the walls. Well,
Capcom have published it.
This is true. Yeah. Maybe it's a Mega Man game under a different name.
That's definitely worth a go. Download the demo as we did.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Considering picking it up, not sure yet. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. I think actually picked it up after the show. That Spelunky, I finally got a copy.
Yeah,
of
it was on sale. It went on sale with the February things, and you finally picked it up.
For about £4.
I need to get Hotline Miami. That's only £2 at the moment, but I keep forgetting to buy it.
You should pick it up.
I'm definitely going to after seeing you playing it. It's a really good game. I really want to
experience
it.
It's an award winner.
It is.
Tom Matt Attack Awards.
It is a Tom and Matt Attack Awards winner. It did.
I can't remember what, but it definitely did.
Best indie, I think, right?
Yeah. Well,
for you, at least. Yeah.
I've played something. I've got to have played something else, Matthew. Yes, the usual Sonic Racing Transformed.
Yeah.
Every week. It's a multiplayer game. And I played...
You played Outlast on the PlayStation 4.
Outlast. Okay, let's talk about Outlast a little bit.
So Outlast is currently the free game on PlayStation Plus for PS4 owners. It's... For those of you familiar with the PC horror trend that happened like 2 or 3 years ago, it's very similar to Amnesia. It's a game where you have no weapons, and essentially the only way you really survive is by running and hiding away from these things that are very much very powerful and very threatening enemies. Obviously, it's a very horror-focused game because of this fear aspect. There's a lot of like unnerving scenes and dead bodies and stuff, and I was kind of thinking about it afterwards. It kind of reminds me a lot the feel of it, at least, to Dead Space 1. Like there's something crazily occult going on in this asylum you're in, because naturally it's an asylum, because if you're in a bakery full of madmen, it's not as threatening as an asylum. And
it smells a lot nicer.
Yeah, it would be, yeah. You know, when you run, there'd be like flesh flour coming up and people attacking you with buns. But no, they've got axes and shivs and all of this kind of stuff, and everyone's a bit scary and unhinged.
It's great.
Yeah, it is a very good game.
It's great for immersing you in a game and making you feel terrified to turn the next corner or open the next door. And it's not often I've played a game which is that convincingly scary.
So much so, we were playing it after midnight on a Friday night in the dark.
After watching RoboCop.
After watching
very good,
RoboCop,
by the way.
Brilliant! Also, very good Lego movie. You should go see that as well. I couldn't play it. Like, there was something about it, and I just knew what game it was going to be, and I knew it was going to be very psychological. I just didn't have the head for it.
And it wasn't like Matt passed the controller over me and I was given the reins.
I've never done that, playing a horror game. Like, I've never been like... I like horror
games.
You're
a big wuss, really.
I just couldn't do it. It's just like, I knew what game it was going to be, and there was like blood splattered all over the floor, and there was the mechanics make you
peeping
lean up against the wall and
around doorways
open,
just to see.
Yeah.
Without
it's just
catching
like,
the attention of some of the inmates.
I knew where it was going to be, and like, we didn't get that far into it. Like, we pretty much ended with us getting killed by an axe wielding maniac bloke.
Yeah, but it was interesting to find that I was thinking if you were going to get hit, that was it.
Yeah.
But you can take a fair bit of damage.
Yeah.
We discovered.
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, you can get hit 2 or 3 times, but like, I guess that was just because it's one of the starting enemies and it's the first real run you've had to do.
You see glimpses of things that send shivers down your spine, and you've seen a character running around the halls and then they disappear, and you're thinking, well, where are they now?
Yeah. It's properly one of these games that just throws every psychological aspect at you
and
can.
The great mechanic of the game, you have to enter darkened rooms or corridors at times. How you traverse those corridors, you have to use your video camera with night vision. And you've got a battery, of course, on your video camera that can potentially run out. You have to keep finding batteries to keep that charged.
So it means you've got to explore. It's not like you can just run through the asylum. You need to look in rooms, because you're worrying not only about finding your objective, but finding batteries, which mean you can see.
Yeah.
So.
And initially, I thought, well, come on, I'm just going to run through this. When I was initially handed the controller, I'm not scared. I'm just going to run around the room. You can't quite, because you don't want to draw attention to yourself.
Yeah. That's the thing,
you find yourself slowly slowing down and being a bit more methodical in how you play the game.
But you have to be. That's why it's so good, because it puts you in that position that, like, you know, if you're just going to run in the corner, you're just going to get killed. So, like, you can't. And then you're afraid of dying because you're so immersed in trying not to alert things. It's such a great
And there's
game.
Such a panic when you try and... If you get spotted and you're in a situation where you need to run, to remember where you came from. When you got lost in the basement, you have to go down to a basement, turn some power on. Because of course the power gets cut, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you go down there and there's another guy down there in the shadows, and he caught sight of me and I was trying to get out and I could not remember exactly how I got down there in the first place. Well, and like, I was panicking.
You know me, like anytime you play a game, I'm a bit guilty of being like a backseat gamer and going, oh, you should be doing this, you should be. I didn't have a clue. I was in the moment with you just going, oh my god, run. Like, I didn't, like, I can't even think at the time, like, if I knew where you should have gone. I was like, oh my god, I don't know where you go. Because it's so dark and it's so disorientating, because you're looking through this camera and you're aware that you're getting chased by this thing.
And it's a great experience, but certainly not for the faint of heart. The visuals are nice too, I found.
Yeah, very pretty game.
Help with the immersion into the game. Testament to the power of the hardware. And of course, the design.
Yeah, definitely. Some very disturbing looking characters and stuff. To be honest, I don't think it's the prettiest thing I've seen on the PS4 by a long shot, but it feels like a very high-end PS3 game to me. But for free, you know?
It's free, and it's one of the most unique, enjoyable experiences out there, especially on the PS4, so...
Pick it up.
Yeah,
if you're of the age
play the game, because it's not something for younger listeners.
No, definitely not. I don't think we've got young listeners, but just in case. Yeah, what else have I been playing? I played
Minecraft.
Yeah, you did. You actually you played a bit more Minecraft.
Just jump in and save you there while you try and remember what you played.
Yeah, go on, talk about it. You had a very...
Okay, so for listeners of the show who listen to our show and then watch the videos we've been doing lately, you may know that I did a video where I attempted to play Minecraft. And my estimations were low. And since then, I picked it up again, playing with a friend of mine online. And I'm really getting into it.
Really?
I think it's such a friendly experience to play Minecraft. And it is, unlike Outlast, it's a game for all ages.
Yeah.
And it's so got so many good ideas. It's so creative. It's you get a wonderful sense of achievement from it. And it's working together in multiplayer is one of the key strengths of the game. And then finding out what's possible in Minecraft. My friend Gareth was showing me through some of the worlds he created. And I was in awe of kind of what he'd done. And of course, everything you do in Minecraft takes quite a lot of effort.
It does.
So there's a lot to appreciate about the time you put in, you get good results. Like massive structures, like you built a castle and you had all these mines that went down into the earth and...
I've seen some amazing things. Like
I hear there's even more amazing things that you can do with the game.
You can, essentially, there's I can't remember what it's called. I think it's like red crystals or red powder. It's been so long since I've actually played the game properly. But you get this thing and you find it and it's very rare and it's down in the bottom of the mines kind of thing. And essentially it works like electrical wiring in which you can create circuitry.
Mm.
And some of the stuff you can do with it is like music boxes and stuff. Like, I've seen YouTube videos where people have done like roller coaster rides, and this, you essentially jump in a cart and it starts an electric chain reaction going through these music boxes. And like, as you're traveling along this gigantic circuit, it's playing like, you know, like Final Fantasy VII battle music and stuff. Like, people have gone through the effort.
It's starting to sound like Little Big Planet now.
Yeah, but it's honestly, I think what Little Big Planet tried to be, like.
Yes, and this is what I'm just thinking now.
Yeah.
That it's so much easier to be creative in Minecraft than it ever was in Little Big Planet.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, essentially, I think Minecraft is what your Lego universe maybe should have been like. Because it's that very core idea, and obviously why Lego did the Kusho thing of Minecraft. Like, essentially, like digital Lego, isn't it, really?
Yes, you can say that. The experience is very much like building something out of Lego.
Yeah.
You're building things out of blocks.
And you can see some crazy stuff. And like, what you don't really get on the console is that on the PC you can kind of skin everything as well. Mm. So like you can create your own worlds.
Well, you can skin if you pay for it.
Yeah, but like you can create your own textures and stuff. And like you can make yourself look like Cartman, or you can make yourself look like Optimus Prime. And you can do all these crazy skins, but you can also reskin all the blocks and stuff. So there's out there, and my friend Ian had it, and it was a really high-res texture pack. So, like, everything looked, like, super realistic.
That's weird. That takes away from it.
It didn't, though. It really didn't. Like, it's such a diverse game. The idea of it is so beautiful. That, like, this pixelated aesthetic, which is key to it, I will admit, it's very core to the idea of Minecraft, is that it looks very minimal, and that allows you to have this amazing world.
Or it looks terrible, I think I said when I first
you
played
did, yeah.
But it's part of its charm.
It's part of its charm. Mm. And like,
but the fact that you can do more with it.
The fact you can just do all these crazy things to it as well is just a brilliant bonus.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine most of the listeners to this podcast are probably well familiar with Minecraft.
I would assume so.
I'm coming from a guy, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there who haven't played it.
Definitely, without a shadow of a doubt.
And a guy like me who... it wasn't on my radar or something to play at all. Give it some time. Well, you don't even need to give it a lot of time. I think about half an hour and I was hooked.
Yeah.
So, Minecraft, a game for everyone.
Actually, a friend Adam can't play it. A friend Adam just, like, he spends too much time on it. So
because that's what happens. Time just disappears.
Definitely.
It's like The Sims.
Well, it's a world, isn't it? Like, you know, like, especially if you're playing it with, like, 10, 15 people over a server and you've just got this gigantic world.
Mm.
Honestly, like, it can take hours to cross, and find people and stuff.
I mean, I used to play a game. It wasn't actually a game, but it was a piece of software for my computer for interior design, where it was kind of like Sims. You build a house, but then you walk around in first-person perspective. You know, and you'd put in where you want the chairs and such, and you can bring in characters, and but they're static characters.
Yeah.
And I remember making a bathroom and filling it full of babies. But that was great. You know, nothing was really going on in that thing. It was a piece of software to help you decorate your house.
Yeah.
But I could play that for ages.
Well, that's the whole thing about Minecraft that I really
but
like.
Minecraft works upon that and develops.
Yeah.
It was a survival aspect as well. But of course, if you want, you can just play it like that.
That
interior design thing.
Like, when I first played Minecraft, like, I first saw it, and my friend was playing, it was the alpha build, and he was just building. Like, none of the creepers or anything existed. And I was like, that's kind of cool. But that was my initial thought of it. And then I played it when it was in beta, and it was, you know, it was like blocks and creepers existed and stuff, and that's when I played it the most. I think it was amazing. Like, it was just such a nice idea, this whole, like, right then, it's getting dark, you need to get inside and do stuff, and then you can sleep, and then your bed becomes like a save point.
Yeah.
And like, the nice thing about the whole game is that it doesn't really tell you these things. I guess it does more so now, especially on the 360 version.
Yeah, it didn't though.
But
when I was playing it,
you just kind of you do it, and then you learn by doing, and then you get this whole reward.
You learn by friends helping you, people who are experienced in the Minecraft world, guiding you, and these people become like professionals, and they bring new people into it.
Yeah.
It's like ambassadors of Minecraft.
Indeed.
And you become one when you start playing it and you learn these things. And it's quite rewarding, I would imagine, to bring new people into it.
I want a t-shirt that says Ambassador of Minecraft.
And to me, it's a great kind of Nintendo concept as well. It is a game for everyone. It is a very creative and unique revolutionary game.
Well, you only have to look at like things like Minecon, man. Like, there's a whole convention around this. Like, it's how passionate people are. Like, and it's not just a thing like, you know, like people our age and gamers in general. Like, my nephew's 10 and he loves Minecraft. Like,
It's fantastic. It's one of the great games of our time.
And it's pretty inexpensive. Like, I got my copy, as I said before, for like £5. I think it was only like £15
new. And I hear
new.
It's free on PC, is that correct? Or do you still have to pay for it?
I'm
a bit confused about that.
I'm not too sure. I remember paying for it when I got it. Mm. But I got it pretty reasonable price because, like I said, it was in beta. But you pay for the server on the PC, and that's more the thing. So maybe the game... I think you have to pay for the game. But I don't think it's very much, especially when you compare it to like a full console release.
And that's great. So it's available to everyone.
Yeah.
And do you know about the specs on the PC version? Is it very demanding?
Not at all. Like, no. My Mac is like 6 years old now and it still runs Minecraft very well. There's no lag or anything.
A game for everyone.
Indeed. Speaking of games that run reasonably well, despite being new on my laptop, I played a bit of Hearthstone's Heroes of Warcraft, which I also made a video for, and got my butt whooped. But it's a very fun game. I haven't really dived into it since because it's just such a time thing. Like, you just spend so much time in it.
Mm.
And you get a very rewarding feeling because the games are very fast, but they require a lot of effort to win. And it's just a good game. Like, honestly, check it out. It's in open beta at the moment, so it's free. And unlike, arguably, EA with their Dungeon Keeper at the moment, have you seen this scandal of EA have released an app of Dungeon Keeper, kind of building off the idea of the classic Dungeon Keeper? But it relies you pretty much just spending money. It's all the game is. Like, gameplay mechanics are hindered by the fact you need to spend money.
Horrible. Isn't
everyone
it?
Complained about this, and they were just like, well, why don't you just let me pay £7 or £8 for a port of the old Dungeon Keeper? And the EA kind of tried to come out and defend this, but obviously nobody's having any of it. But this game seems to have microtransactions right. Like, you can buy boosters of cards, but they're very easy to obtain, like 3 or 4 of them for free. And if you go into the arena, which is where you earn your most money and stuff, like, that's very reasonable. Like, you only have to play, like, 1 or 2 matches to get enough coins to go into that, and then you're guaranteed a pack of cards. So it all seems very balanced. It's all, like, you know, you can spend money if you want, but you don't need to. And I think that's the important thing. You know, if it's hindering gameplay mechanics and you feel you need to spend a lot of money on stuff, and I don't agree with it, like... If it's purely the aim of the game is to generate as much profit from you as possible, then I don't want any part of it. That's why I don't play Candy Crush Saga. That's why I don't play anything mobile, really, other than...
Flappy Bird.
Oh, no. Well, like, Flappy Bird's not...
No, I'm just saying Flappy Bird because it's a thing.
It is.
At the minute. It's a thing when you see kids on the bus playing it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you don't see that many kids play Flambia's Excellent Ridiculous Fishing, but it did win iTunes Best App of 2013, so that may change.
Yeah.
But yeah, have you played anything else?
Not really,
to be honest.
Other than I've mentioned it, but Spelunky has been the game I keep coming back to on the PS Vita.
It's because it's great for 5-minute pickups.
It is. It's perfect, and that's how I've been using it.
When you get better at it, though, like, it'll take like 15, 20 minutes.
Like,
you'll be so cautious at everything. Like, it kind of loses that ability to pick up and play it. Though it definitely has that just one more attempt
it
vibe
does.
To it. Even, like, once you've played it to death, like I have. That's why I try not to play it, because I know I'll play it for a good 2 or 3 hours. As far as buying stuff as well, I picked up a sealed copy of Blade Runner, the PC game from 1997.
Nice find.
For a whole 20 kroner in a charity shop, so that's my luck gone for the next year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But Carbook Till is just around the corner. We'll see if we can get a few more Game Boys. Ho, 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 ho.
Oh, no. No more. No room for more Game Boys.
I can have a plinth and I'm just going to fill it with Game Boys.
You could make some art out of Game Boys.
I could, but
you could build them into a chair or something like that.
I probably could. I do have enough. I also picked up from our wonderful friends over at Games World, Bod. I bought a copy of Parasol Stars. I.e. Bubble Bobble 3, Rainbow Island 2. It's a game I've always wanted for the NES, and I could never find anywhere. It's one of those titles that eluded me. Like, a lot of titles I want now, I've owned at one point and sold, but I've never owned a copy of Parasol Stars, and this one's just immaculate, so cheers, Adam, for that. Very good game. I can't wait to play it. The sprite design and everything about it is lovely.
Played a bit of that Philosoma?
Philosoma, yeah.
A top-down shooter for the PS1.
Yeah, I picked that up a couple of weeks back in a second-hand shop here in Denmark for pretty cheap.
Yeah, I only had a quick go on it, but first impressions are very good.
Yeah, it looked very cool.
It did some cool things with objects in the foreground and ships moving from the foreground to the background, and the aesthetic was great.
I was going to be very sarcastic multiple when you weapons. Started playing it, because it just looked like a 3D version of Asteroid. And then
oh, because it was just asteroids.
It was just asteroids flying at you, and I was like, oh, really? And then ships came in. And
yeah, and I liked the fact you just didn't have one weapon, you had several different weapons that you could switch through.
Yeah, there seemed to be quite a bit of depth to it.
I'm wanting to play that a little bit more. I had a quick go on the fighting game I got for PS1.
Japanese
recently.
One, yeah.
The one based on the anime about the samurai. Samurai yeah. X, it's known.
Yeah.
Outside of Japan.
Yeah.
And, yeah. All that right. wasn't that good. It was okay. It was painfully slow. There wasn't...
You should realise if you're paying bargain basement prices for Japanese fighting games, they're going to be ass.
Yeah, but I thought I'd give that one a go. I used to have a good knowledge, I mean, of what was good and what was bad in regards to Japanese fighting games, because I'd done my research. I hadn't done my research for this particular game. It didn't turn out to be so good.
Well, this is the thing, like, you're scraping the bottom of a barrel, you're so hungry for Japanese fighting games now that you're just buying any old thing.
No, not quite. I still know the ones to avoid. There are real stinkers out there, which I don't plan on purchasing.
That's a shame. We could video them.
We could do. You could video this one if you like, but it's very high res. I think that's the nicest thing about it.
Yeah. The character models didn't seem that bad.
It's, yeah. You try playing it. it's not one I think I'm going to be coming back to much, sadly.
We
it's got
use
a very
it a
nice instruction book. Yeah. Very full colour.
Not inside the...
It's got an instruction book.
Yeah, that's always a plus. Not just a printed matter on the back.
It's all in Japanese, but, you know, the pictures are nice.
Yeah, it's the thought that counts.
Yeah, we've still got a few more to play. So, yeah, I'll give you some more information on those over the coming weeks, I'm sure, when I get around to having a go.
Cool. Well, yeah, I actually woken up in the course of this podcast. It's a bit of a shame
I'm
didn't
glad.
Start this awake.
I'm glad.
But I think that brings us to an end.
I think so.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do the usual spiel. Follow us on
Why
Facebook.
Why don't you do the usual spiel in a different way?
Right then.
Every
okay.
week, so it doesn't sound the same.
If you chaps and chapesses would like to know our goings-on, you can do that in several places. Our goings-on on Twitter are at TMAcast. Our goings-on and... rudimentary comments on the old facey book can be found at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack. You can go and listen to this fine here audio podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and on our website, TomAndMattAttack.com/podcast. While you're in iTunes, you could be a total gent or lady and give us a rate and subscribe.
Not a cheeky rate or subscribe.
No,
as usual.
Not a cheeky rate and subscribe. That would be farcical, Thomas. Yeah, and you can also check us out on YouTube now.
Yeah, that was a cool bit. The end.
TMA Cast.
Check us out on YouTube.
Yeah, give us a look. See Tom play Minecraft. See me suck at Dark Souls. It's all there.
And like, soon to be, see me play El Shaddai.
Yeah, not a lot of humour from us on comments, just because we're kind of in awe of it.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah, it's a damn pretty game.
And
you
too can experience. It's a game we couldn't do justice talking about on a podcast. This is why we do videos as well.
And it's a game that I really, like, I've bragged up on this podcast enough. I want people to see it and experience what it looks like, because it will blow you away. And it's just a game that's gone widely ignored, which makes me sad, which makes me not want to talk over it, because it's such a great game. I just want you to experience it as is.
Yeah.
Right, until next week, everybody. Game on.
Game on.
Ta-da.
Stop. Not. Yeah. So that was 45 minutes.